Intro, boop boop boop, sip and tell, boop boop boop, intro, boop boop boop, intro to Sip and Tell Podcast.
Hey everybody, this is Sip and Tell Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We are here once again joined by Ricky, Seth, and Isaac. We're going to talk about our beer. Our original plan was to speak on Belching Beaver, but we decided that, well, I decided I didn't want to drink at 9 in the morning after having 2 days of Beer Fest. So we're going to talk about Watcher and Brewers Fest. This week, we have a couple news stories that hit our beer in the month, and we're going to cover just our experience at Washington Brewer Fest and call it a day. Mm-hmm. So let's start out with the beer we've been drinking. This last month is a long month of beer drinking experiences. Let's talk about some of the breweries we visited. That covers two trips that we have a lot of crossover with the trip down to Portland, and then after our monstrous hike, we went to a couple breweries also. Yeah. I'll start us off though, because Amanda and I made a trip special out to Paulsbo to visit a couple breweries. We visited, first and foremost, Rainy Days. I've never been to Rainy Days. I've had their beers before. I've had their at Brewfest and at in Cam. Everything was awesome. It was a great brewery. One of the most standout beers they had was this weird one called Can't Believe White Stout or something. And it's really odd because it's a white beer that tastes just like a stout. And you see it and you're like, this is a very light beer. Then you try it and you're like, this is very confusing. And she said, it's going to be a very weird beer. And you're going to enjoy it, but it's a weird beer. And she was 100% weird beer, enjoyed it. While we were also there, we visited Valhalla again. Valhalla is still up there as just a place that makes solid, solid goddamn beer. Everything they make is just really, really good. I thoroughly enjoy drinking their beer, and I hope to see them more pop up over in this region. We're seeing them pop up every once in a while in bottles, but they're still pretty small and in a smaller market. We also visited Silver City. I don't know if we've all had Silver City beer. I'm pretty sure at my place we've had the Ridgetop Red Ale. Just an easy red ale, great sipping. The Tropic Haze is by them.
Tropic Haze.
I think one of their standout beers is the Quick Stout, which is KWIK. It's a chocolate milk stout, like Quick. I think it's supposed to be kind of like Quick Milk Mix or whatever. Awesome beer. Just a great, great, great beer. But they have a bunch of other bottled IPAs that are really good, like Glitter in the Sun and stuff like that. They have one called the Time Lord or something along those lines. Excellent brewery. Everything they put out is dynamite. I thoroughly enjoy them. We'll continue to visit them. And I'm ashamed it took us this long to visit them, considering how much we enjoy them. Outside of that, do you guys have any unique breweries you guys visited this last month besides the ones that we have a crossover?
No, we've got a crossover for me.
Most of the crossover,
yeah,
right?
If I'm going to breweries, usually I'm going with you.
Well, then let's start off with you as well, since we went down to Portland for your bachelor party, mm-hmm. and we visited one of your favorite breweries. How about you talk about that?
Oh, yeah, Base Camp. We hit Base Camp, which is, I don't know, it's a great brewery. It's outdoor themed. We're having an outdoor type bachelor party, so it was pretty pretty fitting, I should say. And one of their beers is a s'more stout, and I just really like it because you get a like good kind of roasted flavor. And they actually roast a marshmallow and put it on the side of the glass.
Is that one of their signature beers?
It has to be.
I mean, that's the one. Like, that's the most iconic one you get there. That's the one you get there. They're like, if you ask the people behind the bar, like, which beer should I try? And they're like, do you like a stout? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, we'll try this shit. This is going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine. It's iconic because of the marshmallow and stuff like that.
Yeah, and their whole place is set up for s'mores. I mean, they have those fire tables on the outside, so you can actually get s'mores kits there and, you know, hang out.
Yeah. That was my first time there. I think I've had their beer before, because correct me if I'm wrong, they do the aluminum bottles, right?
They do.
That's basically because you take them hiking and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can just throw them in a river and then cool them down.
Yeah. All right, cool. That makes sense. What do you remember what beer you tried when you were there? Did you do the marshmallow?
I tried Isaac's, but, oh God, I was just trying to think of it. I was racking my brain.
Too early. Was it the Hazy IPA?
It was the Hazy IPA.
I don't remember the name either.
It was something, I thought I had something to do with dogs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, something like
it
that.
It was something,
too.
I want to say Dog Days, but I know that's another brewery, so I don't think that was it. I thought it was like Dog Days Hazy or something like
that. I mean, either way, did you think the flavor was good?
Yeah, I liked it a lot, actually. I thought it was a solid beer. I thought it had a really good flavor. It wasn't, you know, too overwhelming in the front of the back end, but
yeah,
It was just really good beer.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a solid beer. I had the hazy. I was at the point where, because we had Nicholas beforehand and I ate a loaf of bread, basically, I couldn't drink too much at that point until the food finished digesting. But that one beer was solid, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Plus, they have a lot of fun food trucks out front.
Yeah, it's some a good food truck.
It's a great environment. Their outdoor patio section is excellent. I thoroughly enjoyed that. They had the little dogs walking around. Everyone brings their dog because it's Portland or Northwest in general. So yeah, that's a cool brewery. After that, we made a trip over to Modern Times.
Before hitting Modern Times, we should talk about that game shop. Because they actually had, Guardian Games, they had a good selection of beers on tap and in bottle for being primarily just a board gaming place. I was very surprised.
I will say, when I walked in there, you told me about that place, and I was like, okay, it's going to be big. And then I walked in there, and my mind was blown. I had no idea there was a game shop that big. Because the only thing I've ever really seen before were small little... I mean, Uncle's Games and stuff like that, pretty good size. But they're in a corner of a mall,
it's
basically.
It's nothing this compared is to Guardian Games.
Like, yeah, I mean... And
Guardian Games is on its own level.
You walk in there, it's like a warehouse. And they have... I was trying to explain it to my friends. I was like, you look down one side, it's board games on these 10-foot-high shelves with games stacked on top of those. And each shelf, there's... How unprofessional.
Right? If it wasn't her bachelorette party weekend.
Fair enough. On each... Each shelf, you have like, it has to be hundreds of games. And either way, it blew my mind. I mean, it's hard to describe. Like, the closest thing I could come to is Olympic Card and Comics in Olympia, but they do comic books and stuff as well. This is Olympic Card and comic books, board game edition, nothing else. And you have one side board games, one guy side paint and whatever, the paint and print games or the little figurine games. And then they have a back room that's for 21 and over. Great Oregon beers in there, and just a fun experience overall. And we drank and played board games way too much.
Yeah.
After that, we made a trip to Modern Times. What is your guys's experience with Modern Times prior to that?
You know, Modern Times, it was a different brewery because I used to live in Portland a while ago, yeah. And it was. Commons? I want to say it was Commons. Yeah, so it's the exact same location, and I was super impressed. You know me, I like the sour beers, and they had this, I want to say it was like a raspberry stout. They call it like Tiger's Blood.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they called it Tiger's Blood.
Okay, you let me step to that. Raspberry sour. I don't know why you ever let me try a sour ever again.
Because it was so damn good,
I know,
man.
But I just won't like
sour. It was
sours.
So damn good. That's probably the best sour beer I've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, even my friend Colt, who does not like beer.
Colt doesn't like beers, huh?
Colt does not like beer.
Did not know
he doesn't
that
like
about
the
Colt.
Flavor of beer.
I mean, we all start there one day. I mean, we have a podcast at one point talking about our history of beer, because I know mine very specifically, and it's ridiculous. So, but Modern Times, I believe, unless I'm mistaken, they started in California, and they've moved up to Oregon. I don't know what their overall
That's
arching
right.
plan is, if they're planning on, like, go up to Washington, which I hope, fingers crossed, Washington would invite them gladly, I'm assuming. But yeah, they're just a fun little, they have a lot of little kitsch to them where it's like, hey guys, Modern Times, wink wink, because they have floppy disks on there everywhere. Their receipt thing was in a cassette tape holder, and you're like, Modern Times. But their beer is excellent. I've had their stuff in cans for years now. I don't remember the first one I had, but we've tried just about anything that comes in a can, and it's excellent. They just make great, great beer. And going there in person, I actually saw on Instagram, someone I follow on Instagram posted that they went to Modern Times in Portland. I was like, wait, they're a Portland brewery? And I looked it up and I was like, they have a Portland brewery. And that's why I was like, I hope we get there next time we go down. I even told once we left, I sent them back a text immediately. I was like, we're going to visit this place next time we go to Portland. And we're planning a Portland trip now, not because of that, but just in general. And I want to go there specifically. That was primarily our Portland stuff. We made a trip to Ground Control. We had a great burger at Theo's. We had all kinds of disgusting foods, and we went on a hike that basically killed one of our friends. But overall, it was just a fun little experience. In addition to that, we all made a trip to
Bowie.
Oh shoot, I almost forgot about Bowie. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, I was gonna start jumping to the hike last week, but yeah, you're right. We were thinking about going to Fort George, but we made a trip to Bowie instead, and I'm not disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I love Fort George beer, but I've never tried Bowie, and any kind of experience like that is always a worthwhile one. Do you guys remember what you got while you were there? I mean, we're talking almost 3 weeks ago at this point.
I made a bad choice when I was there. I think I got a lager, which sometimes I get the, I don't know, I just like kind of like go, oh, I'm going to throw back and try a lager like I used to drink back in the day and see if I like them.
Yeah.
Nope, my taste buds have permanently changed as far as I can tell. They're
well, because that's...
It wasn't good.
Lagers are what everyone starts on. You get it. So when someone gives you a Rainier or something and you're like, this kind of tastes weird, but then you drink it, you're like, ah, I can drink a couple of these. And you the beauty of a lager is that you could drink six of them and maybe you'll get a good buzz on, but you're not going to be heavy, you're not going to be weighted down. Mm-hmm. You drink six IPAs, halfway through the third one, you're just like, I don't want to drink anything else. I'm like, I have a loaf of bread in my stomach. Same with stouts and stuff like that. There's just that point where you're like, oh man, I just can't keep drinking because it's so heavy, so rich. So that's the beauty of lagers, is that you could throw back a bunch of them without necessarily, I mean, except lagers, even like the breweries are starting to make high percentage of lagers now. So you're like getting 6 and 7% lager, you're like, what are you doing? You're just going to kill people now. But, Seth, do you remember what you got when you were down there?
No, I was trying to think. I think I got some kind of Pilsner, and it was okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you know.
You guys both
like,
went light. That's a mistake.
Yeah, well, because we did some, we had
a crazy hike.
Crazy hike, and I was like, oh, something light and refreshing will be nice.
We're all falling asleep in the car.
Yeah, I had just woken up from a nap in the car.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't bad for Pilsner. It's just I reminded myself that I don't really care for Pilsners as much as I thought.
Pils are weird because they're super light, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't, they're great beers. And I think if you get a flavorful Pilsner, it's not actually a Pilsner. It's a problem. So like Pacific Brewing on Pacific Avenue in Tacoma has a Pils that I actually enjoyed. But then I was like, and more I think about it, I'm like, do I enjoy a good Pils or do I enjoy that beer that's not really a Pils? And I don't know, I don't know what the definition of a Pilsner is. I need to look into that because...
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I don't know what the flavor is because it has a different flavor profile than lagers. And,
yeah, but if you get like
the other light beers.
A good German Pils, they usually have a... I don't know.
Is it yeasty? Is that what that
know.
Is?
Like, I don't know what,
I don't know what it is, man.
It's
a fan, though.
Not my jam either. Amanda loves lagers, so every once in a while she'll get one, and I'll try it. I'm like, I don't like lagers. I don't know why you got it. Let me try this ever. Like sours. I'll try them. Well, and like, we had them. We'll cover that. We had Mexican lager that wasn't terrible at the beer fest. I was like, oh, this isn't bad. But I wouldn't drink much more than that. What I was going to jump to is last weekend we did another insane hike because apparently we're crazy and came unprepared for that hike because someone didn't tell us about it that you're supposed to snow that day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I knew it was going to snow.
But then afterwards, we made a trip to two other breweries again. We hit up Matchless and Triceratops. Matchless, I wanted to go there so I could grab a 4-pack of all the fluff, plus I love Matchless beer, and then went to Triceratops. What were your guys' experiences with those ones? Oh, and Triceratops was a 1-year anniversary. I should probably mention that. That was 1-year anniversary that day,
it was,
too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what were your guys' experiences with those two breweries?
Well, getting back from the hike and going to Matchless, I stupidly tried another lager. It's like, it seems to be like the thing that
you
I do.
Did.
So, post-hike, you just want to try a lager.
Yeah, apparently I just want a lighter beer, something sippable, and then I just start sipping, and I do not like it. It was the, they've got a Mexican lager.
Hmm.
Right now, and you know, I kind of thought it would be kind of like sitting down at the Corona.
Yeah,
it was not like sitting down at the Corona. No, was not a fan of that. And it's so funny because I love basically their entire menu of beers aside from that beer that I
tried. Yeah, Matchless is
all fluff is so and so.
Matchless is one of those breweries that's newer and younger, but they're putting out just pretty solid beers, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if I've had a beer. I think they have a breakfast stout was the first one we tried of theirs, and it I was like, this is it. This is a brewery that I could get behind right now. And then I found out they're in Tumwater, and I was like, wow, we're making a trip there as soon as we can. And then, when I was there, I had their, I don't remember what their other hazy IPA is. It wasn't Cloud9, it was their other new one. It starts with a T, I think.
Oh, is it Turbidity?
Yeah, Turbidity.
Amplified Turbidity.
That one was really good. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that was a good beer.
And I should have grabbed a 4-pack of that as well, but I mean, I only need so much IPA throughout a week. So I made the choice of all the fluff, which I really enjoy as well. And then we made the trip over to... Oh, I guess I should ask you, what do you remember what you grabbed there? Or did you have the Turbidity as well?
I had the Turbidity. I also had... I think I had a...
you had a second one there, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I could find it. I think I had just the East Side Club, the Tavern Pale.
Okay.
So just American Pale Ale.
Gotcha.
It was pretty good. It's really easy to drink.
Yeah.
It just goes down easy.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, Amanda got... I'm going to say she got the Porter. I honestly don't remember what it was. It was good. I loved it, whatever I drank of it. But then we walked over Triceratops because they're in the same location. Anyone who's in the area, I suggest going to visit both of them because they're both really good.
Yeah.
Triceratops is starting the can, which is cool, and I'm a big fan of their cans. They look good. But I got their hazy because I'm a sucker for a hazy IPA. So I got their hazy, and Amanda got the sample size of the golden strawberry, and then the sample size of their porter stout or whatever they had on that day. And man, just all three of those beers. I was so happy with drinking all of those. I mean, we went to Triceratops last time, but the last time we went, I was probably a little too buzzed to really enjoy, to really notice the flavors and stuff that I was getting. And this time around, I was like, oh man, I'm getting it. I don't think I was even buzzed a little. And I was just like, oh, I could taste the flavors. That golden strawberry was amazing.
Oh, it's so funny, man.
You could taste that strawberry
Yeah,
so
it was
much.
So good. That was a good beer. And it was hilarious because, you know, you and Amanda got there first.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the group arrived after. And we all swung by and we tasted Amanda's strawberry. And we're like, oh, dang. And then, you know, you turn around 5 minutes later and we're all standing around. And the other six of us who just got there are all drinking the strawberry.
Yeah,
bowl,
yeah.
Every single one of us.
Yeah.
And then Allison bought 2 4-packs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she left some out of place.
Yeah, she made the right decision. That was a great beer.
It was.
I don't know what they're putting in there. I mean, if they're using straight strawberry puree or some kind of flavoring, either way, it tastes great. Because most of those wheat ales, like think about like the raspberry wheat ales we tried this weekend.
Yeah.
There's some of them that are pretty good flavor, but that raspberry, it doesn't taste right in there. But man, that strawberry, oh, it was just beautiful.
And they melded together well. Like I feel like with the wheat beer, a lot of the time you'll get like a real hit of the fruit,
yeah,
and then the flavor profile like switches over immediately where you just taste the wheat after that. And
yeah.
It's just kind of like weird flip-flop that you do with every single sip.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like there was no weird kind of like transition
yeah.
that I had. At least that's that transition something I observed when having the raspberry wheat at the brew fest this weekend.
Yeah. Well, and like the lingering strawberry flavor was good. That was the crazy part is that you get done, you get that first note. Because yeah, sometimes you'll get like, that's the worst thing is you get one of those flavored beer and you're like, oh, cool, this should be fun. You try it and you're like, oh, it tastes like wheat ale.
Mm-hmm.
And then like if you get it right and you kind of breathe out, like I think to kind of enhance the notes, you get to get the notes of it, but you don't get the overall like punch of the flavor. And then sometimes it's too much punch of the flavor. Like I had someone swore up and down this cherry wheat ale was the best and I tried it. It tastes like cough syrup. Just the entire way. It's so heavy of cherry syrupy flavor. And I was like, oh, God. And I think it was a Samuel Adams, and I was like, I can't drink this at all. This is disgusting. And I only had bought one, luckily, but I dumped it, I'm pretty sure. And I very rarely dump beer. And I was like, no, I can't finish this off. But yeah, outside of the breweries that we visited, were there any standout beers that you guys had this last month?
Oh, yeah, three-way IPA.
Three-way IPA, that was
that
a good
was
one.
Solid.
You grabbed
that's
that one for us.
Tap room for it. Yeah, that's a really good beer. It's a collab with Fort George, Modern Times, and...
Holy Mountain?
No.
Holy something.
Was it?
No, I made this mistake. No,
yes.
I did this last time
oh,
too.
Oh, shit. What was it?
I kept saying holy something, and I was like, nope, that's not right.
Oh, I don't think I have it on my phone
I
either.
Have it on mine.
Dude, I have the can downstairs.
Fort George, Modern Times, and... Oh, Holy Mountain Brewing.
Is it Holy Mountain? Okay.
Yes.
My bad. Sorry to doubt you. it didn't sound familiar, but yeah. Anyways, that was a really good beer.
Yes.
Just really great flavor. Strong beer, but really good, really delicious.
Nice. How about you, Isaac? Anything that jumped out at you?
I mean, I went and got some Belgian Beaver. I don't know about you guys. That was the plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went and got their peanut butter stout. And damn,
the peanut butter Mexican
so
stout or the regular peanut butter stout?
Not the Mexican, the regular.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they had it over at Oli Tavern.
I did have the peanut butter Mexican stout again. It's still solid beer. It's one of the few peanut butter stouts I actually finish all the way through. I mean, I just usually with peanut butter stout, I guess sip, I'm like, I'm cool. That's all I needed. But this one, you get it and you're like, this is a good beer. Good, especially good after like a good meal, solid meal. It's like almost a dessert filling beer without being too sweet though.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I tried a Noli beer that I've been eyeballing for a while called...
Okay.
No Lie or Noli.
Oh,
I
yeah.
always call it Noli.
I call it No Lie.
I call it No Lie.
I don't know.
No, who knows?
Well, what does it stand for? Northern something?
Oh, I have no idea.
Don't know.
That's going to be the determination. Like if it's Northern Lights, it's obviously No Lie. Because that's how you'd say lights versus me.
Okay.
But if it's like Northern
Lights.
Yeah, Northern Lights. That's how you say it in Scottish.
What word starts with L-I that's...
I know, it has to be lights, right? So you guys are probably right. No lie.
No lie.
Or am I saying the wrong? Which one? I can't remember now.
I can't think of any word that starts L-I that sounds like Lee.
Yeah, you're probably right. No lie. We'll go with that then. Although I'll probably words. Call it. I will almost guarantee you call it No Lee still, just because that's what I have in my head. But feel free to correct me. But they have one called False Porter, which is actually a really good porter. And it's just a low can. No lie just puts out really good beers. They have their pale... born and raised pale. They have a really good red. I think it's called Spin something. Actually, I've gone down the No Lee path without being prepared. But they're over in Eastern Washington. I see them post their like specialty barrel aged stuff over there, and I'm just like, oh, I wish I could get that. And they're not shipping that over here at all, as far as I can tell. That's a brewery that's good enough that makes me want to go over to Eastern Washington, which I don't think I would say about many things about Eastern Washington. Just because it's hot and during the summer and snowy during the winter, I usually don't make the trip that way.
I went to Three Magnets for their release of Red Mirror.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, it was okay. I think it's got rhubarb and strawberry, I want to say, and it just was a little bit too much rhubarb, like, bitterness to me.
Yeah.
I think it was a hazy IPA. It was okay. It wasn't bad. I drank a pretty big glass of it, but I don't know if I'd order it.
Did you have the 4-pack in hand? Then you're like,
I was gonna get a 4-pack, and I was like kind of stoked about it, and I was like, one's enough.
Yeah, you're like, I wanted to.
They have some other beers that I really love, and I, you know, if I went back, when I go back, of course, I'll definitely get one of those over that if they had the option.
Well, Three Magnets is one of those places we visited. For us, we visited once, but it was the day after it must have been a beer fest or just a big day of drinking. So when I got there, I didn't want to drink anything. And we were trying to grab sandwiches, and they don't have sandwiches at dinner time. And so they have like artisanal food, and I was like, I don't want artisanal food. It was just like this weird setup where, because of it, I didn't want to go there. They have sandwiches during the day, but not at nighttime. And it's really peculiar. And that's all I wanted was a sandwich. And I got there and I was like, can I have a sandwich, I guess? It's kind of like your weird hatred of Rick and Morty. How, like, something... there's a weird circumstance that led to it. And you're like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And that's how...
Now I just hang on to it.
Yeah. That's where I was at with Three Magnets. Where I was like, I had a weird experience. Didn't like it. I don't want to try Three Magnets. But now that I've tried some of their beers, I'm like, no. Three Magnets is one of my favorite breweries in Olympia at this point.
Some good stuff.
But I still haven't visited them, which is crazy. But Amanda, I think, still holds on to that weird hatred of Three Magnets. So I'm going to have to break that up at some point. But yeah, most of their beer is really good.
Yeah. They did have another one that I really didn't care for.
Pine Needle one?
No, the Sasquatch Snacks. I like the Sasquatch Snacks. I only have a little bit of it, but I liked it. The Meshuggah or something like that. It's like, it was like a barley wine or other.
As soon as you say
barley. Oh, that won a gold award. I saw that on Instagram this morning. It won at the Washington Brewers Fest. Yeah, it was.
Did they have it there?
It was a Shig, something Shig.
Oh, yeah. Shig-faced.
There it is.
Oh, so that's a barley wine?
Really? It was like barley wine based or something.
Giving me that
heads up. Oh, it wasn't good. I didn't care. I'm sure it's great. Obviously, people like it, but I did not care
for it. Do you like barley wine, though?
No, I never really had.
Yeah, see, like I grabbed one once. It's like every once in a while you see a beer style that you don't know what it is. And I grabbed a barley wine once, and I've grabbed a Flanders once. And the barley wine, I was like, nope, this is not for me. I will never buy another barley wine. And then a red Flanders is like a super sour beer. And I was like, not for me. And that's how I learned about those two beers. And I was like, I'm not going to buy those ever again because of it.
So you're just not going to Belgium, basically.
Yeah, probably. I will drink Belgium Golden Ales. And that's if that's all they have, that will be all. Or maybe Trappels. Trappels and Dubels from Belgium. Yeah. Yeah, but I had a bad Trappel also this weekend. A bad Trappel. Okay. One other standout I really wanted to mention, just because it was a really good beer, was we had Evil Twins Irish-ish coffee stout. I was like drinking an Irish coffee, and it was dynamite. And now they have one called, what's that whiskey drink? Toddy. They had a hot toddy-ish beer that I want to try now, because that Irish-ish coffee blew my mind. Because you take a sip of it, and you're like, this is like drinking Irish coffee. But it's super rich and super... high in percentage. So it's like we split a 16-ounce can, and I was like, that was enough. Any more than that, I would be like, I can't drive for the next 3 weeks. That was just too much alcohol. But yeah, that was probably my last standout one I wanted to talk about. Okay,
did
so
you pick that up at Pint Defiance?
Yeah, everything. I mean, at this point, everything we grab is from Copper Door or Pint Defiance.
Yeah, I gotta make my way down there.
It's so close to you guys, too. That's the part that shames me, because you guys can make it so easy, and you guys never go there. I'm like, no.
I know I'll blow $100
every time. Oh, don't get me wrong, you will. But it's like Allison was like, I need to go Pint Defiance. I'm like, it's like 5 minutes from you guys. Just go there real quick. Grab everyone from your house. Just drive over there. Blow some money and be like, this is it. This is my beer for the week. Or more, if you're more responsible than Ricky, it's your beer for 2 weeks. But if you're like Ricky, it's your beer for the afternoon. $40, that's all you're drinking for the day. Okay, so we basically cover our beers. Anything else stand out for you guys that blew your mind, not Beer Fest related?
I don't know. Oh, I tried a Coors Light the other day.
Gross. Get out of here. Get out of here. Stop.
Did my taste buds change? Do I like this again?
No. I don't.
There,
not good.
There was a point about 2 years ago where I ended up hanging out with a friend, and he knew when I was in Portland when I started drinking beer because I was poor. I drank nothing but High Life and a PBR. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I got PBR in the fridge. And I was like, I haven't had a PBR for years. Let me try. I got like three sips and I was like, nah, I'm okay. And dumped it out. I was like, nah, I'm sorry. I'll give you the $2 that you lost on that beer because that was awful. I could see myself in the Coors Light I've had a couple times, and I could see myself in the right situation drinking some of those. Like some of those lagers. Not often, but it'd have to be like a super hot day where I'm like, I just want to sip a couple beers. But I think at that point, I'd just rather have vodka and something.
I drank one a couple weeks ago.
It's yep. rough, right?
It was after a soccer game. It was exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, see, I could see that. Yeah. Maybe those kinds of times, I could see that being the right move. I don't know.
Like, if I was going to shotgun a beer, yeah, Coors Light.
Yeah.
It would go down easy.
Well, stout would be easier to shotgun. If you're trying to drink a beer fast.
Shotgun a stout?
It'd be easier.
I don't think shotgun a stout.
It's not carbonated, though.
Yeah, but still.
You're not getting those bursts and stuff like that. If you're going for, like, my thought
like
is more.
Ice cold lager, though. It's the best way to shotgun.
Oh, I don't know. If I was going, I want to get as drunk as possible as quick as possible with a beer, I wouldn't go lager. Like, I would go stout because you could kill that so quickly. I'm telling you, because it's not carbonated. They're usually served at room temperature or slightly chilled.
It's a Ricky tip.
I'm just if you're racing.
You want to get wasted by shotgunning.
If you're racing the clock for the fastest you can drink a beer, go stout.
How about that three magnets like brunch stout?
That would be tough. That's a little tougher.
Yeah,
but
it's
heavy, but you could it'll be easier to sit and pull down than a lager.
All right, we should put this to test. We're gonna do our chug and tell. We already talked about doing this, right? Chug and tell.
I don't know if you want to race me though. I'm a pretty fast sipper when it comes to chugging.
Sipping fast.
Well,
sipper?
Chugging, I can chug pretty
fast
quick.
Sipper.
I can shotgun you guys under the table. I'm just saying.
You take your Coors.
I'm not gonna get into this.
Oh, what? You have to.
I will do it, but I'm not gonna.
We'll see. We'll have live footage of it later.
I'm not going to get into a pissing match about who's the fastest.
You're going to sit there and just start sipping as we're like, just throwing up. I made a mistake. I hate this.
Ricky's going to be over here shotgunning stouts.
Blackout drunk after two.
Yeah.
I was like, this was a mistake. Man, come pick me up. I can never do this again. All right, so let's jump over to news. I have a couple news stories I think are of interest at least that will lead perfectly into our topic. Mm-hmm. First of all, Omegang is starting to can. I don't know. Have you guys had anything from Omegang before? Mm. I don't know their location. I should look that up before.
How do you say it?
It's O-M... O-M...
Omegang?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Omegang.
So, like, one of the first beers I've had from them, my buddy Brian Chavez hooked me up with a bottle for maybe my bachelor party.
Did you say Brian Chavez?
I know. We have the same... It's a friend that has almost the exact same name. Because you have Ryan Chavez, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
sorry,
why when
that
you...
confused me.
When you kept saying Ryan Chavez for the bachelor party, I was like, no. Wait, what? And then I find out you said Ryan, not Brian. I was like, ah. Okay. That makes more sense. But he's a... Like, Brian... You may have met Brian at one of the video game things.
Yep.
He brought his brewed beer at one point.
Did not try that beer, but
it was pretty good. And he's the closest person I know to actually being able to brew good beer. Like everyone brews beer, and you're like, this isn't for me. But he's actually brewed a couple beers. You're like, okay, I get it. This is what home brewed beer actually could taste good. But most of the time, it doesn't. But his are pretty good. He brought me one called Three Philosophers, and I believe it has like a cherry aged stout of some sort. Man, it was dynamite. And I've had a couple other beers from them. They're really good. They're a little pricier. Like, if they do, like, big bottles, I think, like, the 32-ounce bottles versus, like, the 24, and they're, like, $15. But they're usually really well worth it. I mean, one of these things, I'll bring it one over so we can all try it. It's a solid beer. But they're starting to can. They're starting with their IPA, of course, because people love IPAs, and IPA rules the craft beer world right now. Another story, Jean-Claude Van Damme is forcing a name change of a beer. So there's a beer in Nevada called Craft House, I believe. Craft House Brewing. Hmm. And they were brewing a beer called, let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh, I just lost it. I had it. Oh, it's the Jean-Claude Belgium Ale or something. Golden Strong Ale is what they call it. Jean-Claude Belgium Golden Strong Ale. And they just recently received a cease and desist. And the premise of it is it started with their van that they had was called the Jean-Claude Damn Van because it kept breaking down. So they're like, goddamn van. And at some point they brewed a beer and it was just kind of a sticky joke thing. But it stuck around because it was a good beer. And recently the attorney finally was like, you can't. They got big enough that the attorney was like, you can't keep brewing this beer. And this is something we've seen happen before. There's a couple in Washington, and I think one of them is called Foggy Noggin. I think they either did the 12th Man or the Skittles beer. And they had the Skittles beer going, and after a couple years of it becoming something, they got a cease and desist from Skittles, obviously, because it's a trademark, and they have to protect your trademark. But it's like this weird thing where these small breweries do something, and they say, yeah, you're going against trademark, but who cares, because you're small enough. And then they get big enough that it gets to someone's table and they're like, well, I guess we gotta stop that. But cease and desist.
Trademark Jean-Claude.
Well, it's a person though. Because he's not necessarily like, well, and
man, I think that's an opportunity missed for Jean-Claude Van Damme though. Come on, yeah, man. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah,
it feels like I can kind of get them saying,
how
like,
relevant
yeah,
is he? Out. Like, maybe he could use a beer name now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. And he has his new show coming out. Come on.
It's
Jean-Claude.
It's a tough thing because when those kind of things, like, especially, like, Skittles is a great example. If Skittles hadn't said something about it, and then all of a sudden they turned around, like, 2 years later, and someone else had been using the trademark, and they're like, well, but you didn't say anything about these guys.
Yeah, you
that's
can
what
lose
becomes,
the trademark. Yeah.
It becomes very spotty. You can start losing trademarks and stuff like that. And 12th Man is the same thing. There was a 12th Man beer in Seattle, and then Seahawks finally said, you got to stop doing this. You can't keep using our name because it's one of their trademark things. Although, I guess a college did it. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We're not here to talk about trademark.
Yeah, Texas A&M.
Yeah. They had the 12th man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's this weird thing where I think Seahawks end up giving them a cease and desist. Or the other way around, was it? I can't remember.
Know.
It's not important. But yeah, it's one of those things you have to protect your trademark. And the Jean-Claude Van Damme was a tough one. But like, if, you know what? There's even a chance it had nothing to do with him. The attorney saw it and said, you can't use this. That's usually how that stuff works. There might even be a chance that he was like, oh yeah, I would try that beer. Or I'd go hang out with them or whatever. But it's easier to send a letter being like, you can't do this. And I don't know how cool Jean-Claude Van Damme is outside of that, so he may be just,
I don't know,
that
like, I imagine if somebody made, like, a Dwayne Johnson The Rock beer,
yeah,
I'm fairly certain Dwayne Johnson would, and it got big, he would probably go visit the brewery and put that shit on Instagram and be like, check this shit out.
That
would
be
talk to these brewers
like
and
cool
talk
dude.
About, yeah, exactly, because he seems like a cool dude. Jean-Claude, I am very disappointed. I was a big fan in the 90s. Come on, dude.
I would say, I would say you'd be shocked. I think what would happen is he would do that, get the cans, and give the thumbs up, and then secretly a letter would come out from his attorney later on saying, you can't keep using his likeness, you can't keep using this. Because that's just how the world is. Even cool dudes are like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And he looks at his lawyers like, you do what you have to do, man. It's like, this is my decision. You make the decision for me. I mean, they're big enough that they don't get that. Like, if there was a Terry Crews beer, that'd be dope at first, but I guarantee that'd be taken down almost immediately.
Yeah.
Once it got big enough, it's just this trademark and infringement and safety of your image and whatnot.
Brand, yeah,
because what happens if the Jean-Claude Van Damme people all of a sudden, or the Craft House, they're brewing this beer and all of a sudden you find out they're, I don't know, Satan worshiping, murder, kid murdering, sacrificing cult or something. And Jean-Claude Van Damme's like, well, that wasn't what I wanted my image to be associated
then
with.
Then you throw out the cease and desist order.
No, you have to stop before him, before it gets tied to it, is the problem. But I digress. Either way, they changed their name. It has a new name called, not that Jean-Claude. So they're still close. But like cease and desist are easy. Basically, they send something off that says, "Hey, you can't stop doing this." And as long as you follow along, you're not going to court unless you want. Like I know there's a big case, or not a big case, but a case going on with Keystone Light from Stone Brewing. I don't know if you've seen their new Stone or Keystone's new branding. They basically set it up so it just says Stone across it, so it looks just like Stone Brewing's lettering and stuff like that. So they're in the process of suing them right now. Or at least
Stone is suing Keystone?
Yeah. Because it's clearly they're like, "Oh, we saw Stone Brewing, let's make it look like Stone Brewing." And they're trying to get on that craft brew wagon without actually crafting or doing craft brew. So it's gonna be interesting to see if that what goes with that. That'll be a really good case, because that's the small guy going against a big guy. Another story. Not to get super political, because I don't really want to talk about politics, but this does affect the craft brew industry. There is the tariffs that have been created by Trump.
So the ban hops?
Well, no. Originally, the tariffs were added to it included steel equipment that would be used for brewing. Mm. But as an updated notice, that stuff isn't being listed under there anymore. So like breweries aren't going to be hit by the steel tariffs, which is good for everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then there was an article in, this will be a little bit of a discussion point. There was an article in the Sacramento Bee, which I don't know anything about this newspaper, I just saw it on Reddit, where they talked about breweries and kids being at breweries. And we've all been to breweries, I'm assuming, that had kids at them. Matchless had it. Triceratops had it.
Seven Seas.
Seven Seas has it. Odd Otter has it. I don't know about Pacific. I guess I've never seen kids there.
I've only been there once.
Don't know if Pacific has it. I don't know about Dystopian State either. But, like, I was in Bend, Oregon, and Crux Fermentation. I mean, they're set up for kids, basically. Crux, yeah. They have, like, a huge yard outside and like, games and stuff for kids to hang out with.
Big kids, like me.
Yeah. But they have food trucks and sodas and stuff like that. So, I mean, the question is, I guess, what do you guys think about kids being accepted into breweries and parents with kids and stuff along those lines? Does it bother you? Does it, as us being the non-kid side, it'd be good if we had a counterpoint of a person with kids. But what do you guys think about it?
I mean, I feel like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me, because if that's their business choice, I mean, they're going to attract a certain clientele, and then there'll be certain people that just won't go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Like, have you ever gone to one of the breweries and it's like, "Oh, there's kids here. Oh, it's being annoying. I'm out."
No, not really. Have you?
Yeah.
Was it Odd Otter?
It was Odd Otter. Yeah. Odd Otter. I was really into going to Odd Otter that day, and then we turned around. We went inside, and there was kids karaoke happening. Kids
running around. Okay, everywhere. I would have been out for that.
Yeah. And then you said, "Nope."
Yeah, I've never been to a place later. We turned right kids around. Took over. Yeah.
Well, like, it was a zoo. But you've been to Crux, right?
Yeah, but only usually in the evenings.
Okay, so like we went there during the day, and there were kids everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But it was awesome because the kids part I could care less about. But it was good because
Crux,
I was there.
Isn't Crux in Bend?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was with my family in Bend.
I thought you said in Portland.
Sorry. I may have, but I have nieces and nephews, and they were all able to come, but they were just like running around and stuff like that, and it didn't necessarily bother me at that point, but maybe at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Well. There was one weird experience when we went to Seven Seas before they came over here, over in Gig Harbor, and there was like 13 to like 15-year-old kids there, and that's the part where I start thinking it gets a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
Is like when you're at that odd age where you're clearly too young to drink, but you're not quite young enough to be able to play with blocks or something. I think that's I mean, just something where it's like, "Oh, that's clearly a kid." And then, like, even, like, 13 to, like, 18-year-old guys, you're like, "That's most likely a kid." And then you see them, and you're like, "That 18," especially when they're starting, like, 16, 17, 18, you're like, "That might be an adult."
Yep.
They might be a 21-year-old, especially as I get older. Every year I get older, I look over, and I'm like, "Look at that 12-year-old kid," and he's drinking a beer. I'm like, "Oh, that's a 21-year-old adult." I'm mistaken. I don't understand age anymore.
That was pretty much me.
But yeah, I think that's the only... Yes, you're our 21-year-old adult kid. But yeah, that's... Like, I don't see it being a problem, even as a non-kid owner and a person who doesn't necessarily want kids. I don't look at that and go, "Oh yeah, I guess that's pretty odd." It's just, I guess, and maybe it's because it's so normal now. It's kind of odd when there's... Like, there's in Kent... There's a brewery called Airways, and they have two separate things. They have the bistro and the brewery. And I think it's the bistro itself is 21 and over, and the brewery allows kids in, and you're just like, "This is weird." So, I mean, Yeah, I don't know. It's an odd one.
It was like Fishtail. They have like a 21 and up area, and then they have a family area.
Maybe that's the move. It's nice to have a little. It. I mean, it like was if nice you don't want to have kids, be around kids, you could at least move off to the area and be like, oh, thank goodness.
I don't mind the kids being around. I really don't, for the most part.
Yeah.
Like the liability issue, of course, if you're going to allow kids in your establishment, you got to be really serious about your ID checks and everything. And I think that every brewery that has kids allowed, they comply with the ID checking.
I agree.
I don't find it annoying unless the kids take over. You know, that's the only issue. So I guess the line that I would draw as far as like just my experience being a beer drinker and somebody who likes to go to these places is don't throw events for kids at your place. Because that odd otter shit, I did not like that. But, I did not like going there and being like, oh, you're throwing a kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
I was this is a brewery. I don't want to show up here and like hang out. Plus, it's a small place.
I was gonna say, I think
they didn't have the space for it.
Odd Otter suffers from that, because we were there that night. They were doing open mic as well, and I don't think that was good, just because it was so loud in such a small area.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they're set up to do good like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and like versus like Seven Seas, they could do a kids' party because they have that room. You throw them in that room, close that door, I could care less.
Secluded.
They'll be, like, it's in that brewery is so loud no matter what. So you could be on the other side of the bar, you wouldn't even know there are kids there.
I mean, we've caused our fair amount of noise in that place.
We've been those kids at times sometimes when we're playing pitch or no thanks, and we start getting just a little too loud.
Yeah.
Dutch Blitz. So, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that doesn't really bother me that much. I do understand. It's one of those weird complaints that I see on Yelp every once in a while where someone's like, I went to this brewery and there were kids there, and I was like, what is this, a daycare? And I'm like, why does it bother you though? Mm-hmm. It doesn't even faze me. Like, I see them, and like I said, it might just be the fact that since I've been in the Tacoma area, every brewery I've gone to has kids in it, so that when there is one that does allow kids, I'm like, why are there kids here? And it's like, oh, this is weird. There's only adults. And like you said, you have the ability, most of the time, if you're going at nighttime, you're not going to see kids, or if they are, they're not going to be rowdy. They're usually just kids, they're just parents who like beer who are just dragging their kids wherever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's cool. That's fine.
I'll probably be that parent someday, so
yeah.
I have to be a little bit sympathetic.
You gotta be sympathetic, girls. We're never gonna see you again.
Yeah, because like I'm probably gonna be there with my kids, and I hope they're not obnoxious. But sometimes you can't help.
Well, and, like I think the breweries are setting up for it more by having like the right kind of games and like having like checkers and stuff at the tables, like built into the table, so that the kids could do something, or having the oversized games, which are for kids and adults, and those are a lot of fun. Jenga's the only one that's a little tough because I get so loud in the small room.
Oh, when those pieces clatter down.
You're like, oh man. You're like, oh, those are just blocked. We're okay. Okay, and so the last story I want to touch on, I think will lead very well into our discussion, and it's Washington Brewfest changed up some rules this year. And from what I could tell, people that are reading about it were flipping out, because that's what people do. When change happens, people freak out. The biggest change is, instead of being able to buy unlimited tokens, on Friday you could buy unlimited tokens in three sets at a time. So three tokens would be $5. On the weekends, you could buy an additional three tokens, Saturday and Sunday, sorry. You could buy an additional three tokens, but that was it. You were limited to those three tokens. But starting the day at the ticket price, you got eight tasting tokens, which I think is different than the years before, but I could be wrong. I can't remember if it was five and then you bought five, or if you got eight and then you bought three. Either way. Overall, you were limited on Saturday and Sunday to 11 tasting tokens.
So, 4 ounce pours.
Still 4 ounce pours. There were rumors that there was going to be 2 ounce pours. That didn't happen. You still got pretty solid pour size. And I mean, if you had the bigger glass, I saw people with the wobble bigger glass, and they were filling that to the top too. And you're like, oh man, these people are going to die. Plus, most of the beers sit around that, like, I would say high 8 to 14 range on some of those beers.
Oh, and then
You saw most of them sat in the high sevens at the lowest. And then maybe a handful, like 5% beers. So you were going to get a significant amount of alcohol. If you're going with a group of people, or like Amanda and I, whenever we do the brew fest, one token will cover us both, basically, for a single beer, because we'll try each other's beers, except for IPAs. She won't try IPAs. And then, so overall, there's a lot of kerfuffle about it. I don't know. My first initial thought was, I was like, 11 tokens seems like more than enough for me. But there were people that were pretty up in arms about it. So overall, what did you guys think about the new rules? Like, you guys, how many tokens did you guys use total yesterday? You neither of you guys ripped off the thing, but did you guys have extra tokens?
No, I went through all 8 pretty quickly, but decided that I made the right life
choice. I thought 8 was plenty for me myself, and I also did not go into my wristband. I was also driving, so I had my 8 and then I chilled out. But yeah, I didn't think it was that. I mean, for me, it wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a pretty low tolerance for alcohol, so I felt it pretty good. I know there are some people who have a high tolerance and drink all the time, and they want to go there and they want to drink a lot, and I can see how that'd be a big issue for them.
Man, but how high of a tolerance that you're talking 4 times 11, 44 ounces of beer. Yeah, I mean,
there are humans who can drink a fifth and be still like functioning adults.
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I heard it, I was like, 11 beers seems like more than enough. On Friday, I think Amanda and I both went through, I don't know if we went through both of our 8 tokens. Because we had extra from the day before, from the front day. We bought extra for everyone just in case we needed it. So we had 3 extra per person, or 2 extra per person or something like that. And my mom ended up giving me like 4 extra tokens because she didn't use all of hers. I think we went through our 8 on the day 1 and that was fine. On day 2, I don't know if we, maybe, I think I did maybe 10 and Amanda did 7 or 8 and she was just full. And I mean, I wasn't much, I tried to drink more beers and I was like, I can't. I'm literally just full of beer. Beer and food, because I ate like garbage and drank that garbage and I was like, that's all I wanted. That's what I wanted out of this day. So yeah, I don't know. It didn't faze me. It wasn't a problem for me. But yeah, I mean, people were up in arms about it. Like, if you look on the post that they made, go into the comments, first 20 people are like, whoa, I guess I can't do this beer fest at all anymore because it's garbage now. And you're like, eh. I mean, like, people were complaining about the 3-day passes. And I recognize that I am not necessarily a good judge of this because now I run a lot cleaner than I used to. So we did 3 days once and I thought I was going to die. By the end of the 3rd day, I was like, I don't want to see beer. Like, basically how I feel now. I was like, I drank way too much beer over 2 days and ate too much garbage. And I'm like, I just want to go home and sleep. And like after this podcast, after I have run some errands, I'm going to play video games all night tonight. And Amanda will probably watch Downton Abbey. And that's all we're going to do. And it's going to be awesome. And I'm super excited for it. But that's just kind of, for me, once again, 16 4-ounce pourers throughout 2 days. Maybe add 1 or 2 on top of that. That's more than enough. So going into it, I was a little skeptical because people were complaining. Like, they upped the price of the parking, but to encourage more carpooling, which is, it's annoying because it's not guaranteed that you can. I mean, it's not always, for Fridays, for example, it's usually just Amanda and I. We might be able to get, like, my mom came this time, but just because she happened to be in town, we're not going to have 4 people, so we're going to have to pay $10 parking. It just is what it is. And then Saturday, though, we had 30 people or however many people came with us. It seemed like a million based on the car I was driving. But overall, I mean, we were able to get into 2 cars and pay $5 a piece. No problem. It's just, so it's one of those things that's annoying, but I get it. They want to try to limit the footprint of the parking on there and try to encourage more carpooling. It makes sense. And then the beer fest. So let's talk about the beer fest as a whole. Any standout beers, any ones that were bad, just the experience that we had. And we'll do that for our last couple minutes and call it a podcast.
I'm going to do the highs or the lows first?
Let's do the lows first, because I want to...
Because we have the same lows.
Yeah, we do. I want to talk about that Dog Days Peppermint Stout. I
was chocolate really peppermint milk stout.
The chocolate... Oh, man. It sounds so promising. Good. I had circled on my little form like, dang, this is one that I want to get. And then I got it, and it was just peppermint with a weird sour flavor that tasted like it had just kind of gone bad.
It was super sour.
Yeah.
It was like
I like sour beers.
Yeah. I don't know what was wrong with it.
Yeah, I didn't grab that one. I sampled off of your guys's. And you guys, like, after you forcing me, because you were like, it's sour, and I'm like, I don't want to drink that. Then you're like, try it anyways. I tried and I was like, oh, ha. it was bad. In addition to that, I tried one similar.
We dumped it out.
Yeah, you guys dumped it.
That was the only beer I poured out all day. Yep. The only beer I dumped.
The day before, I tried... one, I think it was from Gallagher, like B-Balls or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That one kind of had the similar taste where, like, and I don't know what it is. I've had stouts that kind of go that way. I think the one time I tried homebrewing, that we actually got a product out of it, it kind of had that flavor. So I don't know if it's, like, a weaker hop or a weaker malt or something that creates that kind of softer flavor or that weird, like, almost tart. I guess it's kind of almost, like, more of a tart than a sour flavor that comes off the malt. But I don't know what causes that. I think it has to do with one of those things being maybe too overpowered or the mix not being quite right. But yeah, I had the same experience with the Gallagher one that you guys had with that one. And then trying that one, I was like, this is awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only other... I would say the only other beer that I thought didn't do it for me that I almost didn't finish was Anacortes had a Tripel Vision on Friday. I think it was a Friday only. It was a triple or Tripel or however you say that. And it sounded good, but then when we got it, it was so overly sweet. And I don't know Tripels and Dubels that well, but the ones I've had, they don't usually hit that like that level of sweetness. It was like a cider sweet. It was over the top for me. And I couldn't get too deep into it. Like I tried it a couple times, and I tried a couple sips, and I was like, "Oh, this is rough." And, oh well, because my mom grabbed it. She's like, "Because I had something in my glass already." She's like, "I told her I thought she would like a Tripel because she's like, we got all the barrel aged and stuff like that, and she hated it. It's just too strong. It's too strong for a non beer drinker." And I was like, "Try the Tripel. It's more of a Belgian beer. It'll probably be more up your alley." And she was just like, "Oh, it's so sweet." And I was like, "It can't be that sweet." And I tried. I was like, "Oh my goodness!" It was like drinking a sugar cane. It was just so intense. Yeah. And like I said, I feel like I've had Tripels before that weren't like that, that were really good. But that one, for whatever reason, did not hit the right notes. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have any other negatives? And you were only there one day.
Let's see. What I got a Ghost Fish grapefruit IPA. It's kind of a letdown. It was a decent beer. Like, if they had not branded it as a grapefruit IPA and they just said, like, with citrus notes, I would probably been like, okay, you know, it's a standard IPA, kind of a Northwest IPA with IPA flavor.
Yeah.
But.
So, do you know, have you had Ghost Fish before?
I think so.
Okay, so Ghost Fish, I believe, unless I'm mistaken, gluten-free beer for the most part.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
so,
gee, yeah.
That would probably explain what I was tasting.
There's a couple Ghost Fish I've had that I really enjoy, and there's other ones I've had that I was like, just doesn't taste like anything, or it's not for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the challenge, is that they're playing a game where they're doing something very specific, and I believe all their beers are 100% gluten-free. And they're up in Seattle, and they're one I want to visit. Hey, look at you.
I know, they got a cool coaster.
Yeah, so I believe they're 100% gluten-free. I believe they do a lot, like, offer, like, a lot of vegan foods up there as well. I think they have vegetarian, vegan, heavy foods, but they also have other meat-filled foods. But, yeah, I think that's why there's another brewery that's, like, I think it's called Green River or something, that or Green something. We tried, there's
something with an F.
Yeah. You're right. Green Flash. Or Flash Green or something along those lines. Or Flash River. Something along those lines that is also gluten-free. There was a point where Amanda thought when she was talking to a homeopathic person, they said something about that she might have a gluten intolerance because her mom does have legit gluten intolerance. Mm. So we started looking at gluten-free beers, and Amanda was just shut that down immediately. I think there's some that are better than others, but they're also, with Ghost Fish specifically, if I had some that I was like, I love, others I'm like, nope, I will pass on this. I was like, I'd rather just not drink beer if this was my only option. Yep. So yeah, I mean, I would say if we get a chance to go up through the Seattle crazy walk path thing I've created at one point, it's definitely worth still at least visiting, but I wouldn't do more than like a small sample of a couple beers and then call it, because it's very, very hit or miss with them.
I had a pineapple IPA from Crucible that I did not care for.
Yeah.
It was like, it was almost like the pineapple, it had a pineapple flavor, it was pretty strong, it didn't play well with the other notes of the beer, it just almost tasted like pineapple that had just been ripened way too much.
It tasted
what I got.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it just tasted like an IPA where they put like pineapple juice in it.
Mm.
And it was like there was that kind of pineapple juice flavor just with an IPA.
Yeah, it didn't have
mix well together.
Yeah, I didn't care for it that much.
Yeah, I will say I have noticed like the IPAs are doing a lot of like fruit flavored stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
It's hit or miss. Like, especially, like, I got one from two beers brewing company. It was, like, a mango passion fruit one. I was like, oh, this will be really good. And I got it, and it just tastes like IPA. And I was like, I think you forgot the mango passion fruit stuff. And it sounds like that's where you're talking about the grapefruit one, where it's, like, it was good, but it's, like, this doesn't taste like grapefruit.
Nope.
It just tastes like a citrus IPA. And I think that's their biggest challenge, is kind of finding that, then, and like yours, it sounded like it was over.
It's too much, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it really there's was. There's a fine note in there. Like, Stone has a tangerine IPA, that's awesome. And you're like, you could taste just enough tangerine that you're like, oh, this is what I want. But that is similar to that cherry wheat ale. It's like there's a fine tune that goes in there that you have to hit just right, or else it's awful. If you go too far, it just tastes too much like it, doesn't taste good, versus like the golden strawberry wheat, whereas like it had just the right amount of strawberry where you could taste it afterwards, but it wasn't overpowering.
Yeah.
You still got a good wheat ale out of it. So I think that's the biggest challenge when it comes to like fruit beers. The only other one I would say that was on the lower negative side was Mollusk Brewing had the Glitter Beer. And I've been seeing the Glitter Beer pop up. I think Mashless had one that they just did the keg for. I didn't get to try it because I was sick during that week. And I think, I want to say Triceratops had one, but now I think about it, I think that was just Mashless being dropped off at Triceratops. The one at Mollusk, it looked awesome. I'll post a picture of it because it has such a cool, unique look to it. The reason people like it for the Instagramming is because you get a video and it swirls around in the sun. It looks really cool. But for me, it tasted pretty weak. Some guy was asking me about it, and he's like, it doesn't look like you have much head on the foam. And I was like, you're right, it doesn't. And I tried it, and I was like, it's probably not worth it. Worth it to take a picture with and throw it on Instagram. Not worth any other reason. It was okay. I mean, and Mollusk is one of those breweries I don't know much about. I'm intrigued by. I believe they actually followed me on Instagram at one point. I think they even followed our Sip and Tell Instagram account. And I was like, all right, I'll follow them back. So I'm interested in looking more into them. But I just, that one beer would just, it didn't do it for me. It looked cool. It wasn't a strong enough flavor for me to justify. But that was a weird thing. Because other people were walking by, they're like, oh, there's a really good beer though. I was like, but it tasted more like a pale to me, like a lighter pale. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, probably fine to drink in a hot day. I mean, at that point, it didn't matter. I overheated and dehydrated, but it didn't land for me. Oh, and there was one other beer I wasn't against. I enjoyed the flavor, but I wouldn't build drink of. And this was for example for most of the peanut butter stouts I tried during the weekend. There was a peanut butter and jelly one. Really good, awesome flavor, but it was like eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
It's good for like a sip or two.
Yeah. And like it reminded me of, have you guys been to any of the frozen yogurt places where you get some, they do like the weird flavors. So like they're like angel food cake or German chocolate cake. And you're like, you take a sample of it and you're like, you're like, oh, that's weird. It tastes just like eating angel food cake. But then you're like, but I don't want it though. I'm glad I sampled it because it's crazy how much it tastes like it, but I don't want to drink it. And the same thing happens with those beers where like, I'll try them. I'm like, oh, that was really cool. Very impressive. I'm like, don't want a whole 4 ounces of this. 1 ounce would have been more than enough. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a bad beer. It tasted fine. It doesn't have longevity for me. But yeah, and then some of the good beers I tried, there are so many barrel aged stuff. It's like you tried it. And this is something I need to learn about, is what makes something an imperial. You were talking about that the other day. Something I need to figure out, because basically anything can be imperial as far as I can tell. I'm assuming it has to do with the hops that go into it, or something that goes into it that makes it imperial. So like imperial, like usually if you see the word imperial from it, it becomes richer and heavier. Like the imperial IPAs are so, they end up getting into like, I think like 9% and 10% percentage usually, but I don't know what's causing it to be imperial. You had an imperial sour?
I had an imperial sour from, we were just talking, No Lie.
Yeah.
No Lie. They had like a berry blast and it was phenomenal. That was a phenomenal sour beer because the flavor was just fantastic. And you're right though, because the ABV jumped from like a standard 4%, maybe 5% for most sours up to 8%.
Yeah.
Didn't lose any of its flavor. In fact, so I think it really gained. I think it gained from whatever they do with
whatever,
that imperial.
Whatever
that imperial magic
is at this point that none of us understand.
I don't like sours typically, and I had a taste of that one, and that was good.
I do. I wish I liked sours, because they usually come up as the prettiest looking beers. Like, they usually have a really cool color to them. Like, I've been seeing so much stuff pop up on Instagram recently where they do this really unique colored, dark colored beer, and you're like, what is that? And then it gets a sour. I'm like, nah, I'm not interested. But, let's see. I had a lot of really good IPAs. Anything hazy and whatnot.
Fremont had some good ones. Odd Otter had a really good one.
Odd Otter had a great hazy IPA. Yeah.
Did Fremont have their Head Full of Dynamite?
Yeah, they had a Head Full of Dynamite, which was solid.
So good.
And then they had a Brother Imperial IPA. And that was 8.5%, and that was solid.
That's a brewery that Amanda I plan on going to. They're right next to another brewery I want to try in person called Rooftop, and they're pretty close to each other. So if we make the trip up to Fremont, I'll let you guys know beforehand if you guys want to go. Because they were a brewery I tried pretty early on in the Pacific Northwest breweries, and I was like, all right, these are really good. They had like an orange can session IPA. It's dynamite. Mm. It's just super smooth, really easy. It's one of those ones that I feel like you could probably drink throughout the summer.
They have a summer pale ale that's out in the orange.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. I think it's a summer pale.
Yeah, that thing is awesome. Yeah, it's really very good. Very easy to drink.
Have some in my refrigerator.
Yeah. It's a good sip of beer. It's a good one for a hot day that you actually finish it off. Because, IPAs, once again, are just so heavy sometimes that you're like, oh, I don't want to keep drinking this. It's too much right now. So Fremont's a dynamite place. That's one of those places that I definitely want to visit. I've had their head full of dynamite in can. It's really good. It's up there. It's one of my top IPAs right now.
Yeah, it's really good.
And there are a lot of small stuff. Then there was, you guys talked about the Odd Otter one earlier. That one, I sipped it. It was great. Mm-hmm. I had one from a company called No Boat, which I've never heard of. That IPA was really good. And then the Pog Head in the Clouds from Skookum was really good. But I have a special affinity for Pog. That used to be my favorite juice that I used to drink back in the day. Passion fruit, orange, guava.
Oh, yeah, that stuff is good.
Yeah, the little weird creature on it.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, overall, the festival was a lot of fun. I drank way too much beer, ate way too much food. The food trucks this year, there are a couple changes. There was one called Skillet Sidewalk that I hadn't had before. That was awesome. There was like this fried chicken sandwich thing. Oh my goodness. They had poutine fries, but I just don't feel like those at the moment. But that sandwich was awesome. They had Buddha Brutto was there. This year, usually, the kind of the Asian fusion group that's there is Lumpia World, and they weren't there. But I think Lumpia World might be disappearing, honestly. They haven't been coming to the festivals as much. They only have one storefront. I don't know what they're doing right now. They're kind of disappearing slowly.
Didn't we see them at Point Rusted, just like at their farmer's market? Am I making that up?
Possibly.
I might be making that up because I always run there and they're I saw a sign.
It may have been Lumpier World, but they're so weird about where they're popping up and they're not staying. Yeah, we went running. That was two Sundays ago, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't go last Sunday because I was like, nope, I'm tired. Two Sundays ago, we saw them. I thought we saw them there too. Yeah, because we ran by and I was like, oh, it's a Lumpier World. But they're not at the place that they should be. But when they're there, they're huge. And it's like, that's the thing that's so shocking about them. It's like, they sell out. They always sell out of stuff. But I don't know. They're such an odd little company. And they make great Lumpia, but I don't know how they stay in business. They have something called, they make this mac and cheese with Spam in it. Oh my God. Different podcast, different time. But in addition, they had this, I don't know what that one place was, that had a little meat pockets. That thing was dope.
They little van.
Yeah, there's a little van called like Tombosa or something like that that had some vaguely European looking meat pockets. They were dope. I had the regular one, the beef one, awesome. Then Amanda got the curry one, awesome. And that one had peas, and I hate peas. I still loved it. It was delicious. The ice cream sandwich place that ran out of ice cream.
Oh, that was so good. That was so disappointing.
I've never seen that happen before. So, I mean, it was a hot day
yesterday. Did you eat one?
No, but I've had them before.
Lindsay got one, and I had a bite, and I snapped it out of Isaac's
hand. Yeah.
Literally.
Sorry. Literally a moment
from coming here. Oh, can you help this? And I was like, yeah. Gone. And they sold out when I went to buy one. Oh, so
sorry.
They had the mini donuts again. Always great. They had a little table. Yeah. Did you guys walk by the tachos or whatever? The tater tot cart thing? They were giving away free tater tots.
No, I didn't.
They were really good tater tots, too. And then you get to get a little nacho cheese on them.
Man, tell us about it.
Well, I told Amanda and everyone that was with me when I walked by. But yeah, it was overall a successful beer fest. My waistline will never be the same. My stomach and ability to drink beer won't be the same for at least a week because I drink way too much beer. And then last night we got to play some Broforce, so it was fun. Yep. It was a good overall time.
Oh, we got to swing back around, though. My number one beer, I didn't talk about
this. Oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about Top Rung.
Top Rung, raspberry pastry stout.
I agree with you guys.
Beer of the festival.
That's really good.
It's fantastic beer.
Have you guys been to Top Rung yet?
Yeah, I've been a few times.
Top Rung's the one in Lacey?
Yeah.
Yep. Been there.
We need to go there.
Great outdoor.
Next time we're like, hey, let's go hang out in the Lacey area. Let's go to Top Rung.
Cool.
And then we can maybe hit Dream Magnets.
It's like a quarter mile from start climbing.
We need to go climbing again anyways.
Yeah.
Plan a climbing trip because my arms feel better after the last climbing trip, so I'm good to go again. My thighs no longer hurt after the hike the other day, the mountain hike. So I'm good to go and go destroy my body again on a climb. All right, cool. Well, that seems like a good enough stopping place. We covered all the beer. I want to pick a date, but I don't want to do it right now because it'll take us hemming and hawing. But let's say aim for the middle of July, because you're getting married at the beginning of July. You're getting married at the end of July. So let's aim for like the middle of July, if you guys have any freedom.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
There's a couple Sundays.
Yeah, I think so.
There's a Sunday I saw on the calendar, and I thought it was a girl thing, but now I can't remember. Maybe I'm thinking of this next Sunday that's a girl thing with your wife, your soon-to-be wife. Bachelorette party thing happening.
Oh, yeah. Local back.
But,
local
back. Yeah, either way, we'll figure something out. I'll post it on Instagram. I'll get this podcast. Now that I have the basic idea of how to get this posted, I'll get it posted either tonight or tomorrow morning, because I have tomorrow off, and we'll get a date on schedule and start planning better how often we'll go, and yeah, I'll try to get intro video and all that stuff going. And but yeah, so thank you for joining us. We have been Sip and Tell, Ricky, Isaac, Seth. You can find us on our Instagrams. We have our names on the side there, all of our personal ones, and then we have all of our places you can contact us, which is at sipandtell@gmail.com, sipandtell on Instagram, and sipandtell on Twitter. Thank you, and have a great day.
Boop. Boop, 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 boop. That's an outro to the Sip and Tell podcast.